Again, you're listening to WBAI New York. The program is Labrish. My guests, Carol Spooner and Dave Fertig, and the producer of this segment, Sean Rhodes. My name is Haptis Selassie. And we just want to again continue with what we have. And you're going to say, Sean?
We'll bring back on Dave.
Oh, bring back on Dave.
Hi, Dave. Continuing on, let me just backtrack. There are two drafts, A and B, and there are a number of differences between them. But one of the main differences, at least for a lot of people, is the way that the committees of inclusion is constituted or constructed in each draft. So far, we've been talking about the way it's constructed in draft A. And there's a statement that's been put out by the KPFA lab regarding the way the COI, Committee of Inclusion, is constructed in draft A. I'd just like to read that. We support the committees of inclusion, COIs, that are authorized in draft B to set and monitor diversity goals at each station, but we emphatically reject investing the COIs with powers that would permit them to overrule local station boards or management. And we also oppose allowing the COIs to add seats to the station boards. These powers would transform the COIs into elite governing structures above and beyond review by the elected board. Such powers undermine the principle of listener representation at the stations and the foundation, a principle that all five station boards, the IPMB, and listener sponsors labored long and hard to establish in the bylaws. Now, the way it's constructed in draft B is that it's more an advisory body, monitoring and overseeing and working with the GM and the local station boards to affect greater outreach and changes. And I think for a lot of people, that's more more acceptable, if you will, for lack of a better term. It doesn't make them, the way it's constructed in draft B, it's not as susceptible to manipulation and abuse the way it is constructed in draft A. Because one could say that as well-intentioned as it may be in draft A, it is open for manipulation. And even though it tries to cloak itself in certain provisions that, you know, they won't do X, Y, and Z until they notify so-and-so or until such and such amount of time has passed, at the bottom line, it's still open there, you know, for all kinds of shady doings.
Well, I think, you know, we could even take out words like shady doings.
Okay.
And look at the kind of authority that the committees of inclusion have as proposed in the draft A. And they do have the authority to require changes in staffing, changes in programming, as well as changes in the composition by adding people to the local boards. Vested in one committee whose sole purpose is to see demographic diversity. That's what it's set up to do. And I think that is dangerous. I think that we need to make staffing decisions, programming decisions, and perhaps voting decisions upon consideration of additional factors, more factors than that. And I think that's a very important component. One of the factors we need to consider, diversity is extremely important. But I think that, I don't know. You know, all five of our radio stations, radio generally, there is a great deal of competition for airtime. People become quite proprietary about it and quite jealous of their airtime and quite competitive about it. And I do see making those, we need processes for making those decisions that involve more than race and ethnicity. and do involve things like the mix between music and public affairs and drama and literature and comedy and children's programming, Lord knows, sports, I don't know.
Sports, yeah.
And addressing the current and pressing issues of the community in a timely way. And there's just a lot. And being fair to people who have programs or who want programs. So I am concerned about a committee that is not elected, and the draft can't be overruled by anybody, having the power. That much power, I think it is a dangerous thing.
I think what you're saying, it would be quite contradictory to what then everybody has been saying here, that is, you want to institute, maybe finally within Pacifica, the right of representation.
Yeah.
And of course, access or recourse to redress,
sure.
So that nothing, in a sense, can then be done by fiat, where somebody can just lay down the law and there's no question, there's no challenge. Again, there's no redress. I think Dave mentioned it as checks and balances, that it's the same thing that we complain about, that the government cannot be its own overseer. It cannot, or whatever the organization is, or whatever the committee is, that people who are making a group that is making decisions that ultimately affects the entire organization cannot be then their own watchdog. They cannot be their own overseer. They cannot be the same people that you would have to appeal to for redress, because then there will never be any, and the potential for entrenchment is there. And I think that for me, what I do know, that was one of the major issues. And I think that in terms of people making that approach, there has to be then that willingness. But Dave also said something that I am paying close attention to. The idea that people are so rigid in terms of what their perspectives are. And I think one can be quite confident, quite self-assured of how right one is. But I think that within talking about creating an organization where diversity is, that we have to be able to see another person's perspective and understand, when you look at it, to understand the ramifications of it, to see then if it is ultimately detrimental. If you see it as being detrimental, then I think the shortcomings of such an idea ought to be pointed out, as opposed to that there's just this general opposition to anything anyone has to say, except that I want everyone to accept my point of view, as then my point of view is absolute, and then it is right because I said it is right. And I think if that happens, then this entire exercise will be self-defeating, and we'll be, let me say, even farther behind than where then this process has begun. Are you still there, Dave?
Yes.
Oh, good. All right. I just wanted to know that, so that we haven't lost you. So you're going to say, Sean, because it looks as if you're about to ask a question.
Well, I wanted to go on to the subject of amendments, in terms of amending bylaws and the process involved in doing that. Carol, could you speak to that? The way it's designed in draft, I think in A and B they're the same.
Yes.
Okay. So explain that.
Well, Pacifica is a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, and that means that certain kinds of bylaws amendments cannot be made without the vote of approval of the members. Those kinds of bylaws amendments include changing the number of directors, or the manner of election, or changing the voting rights of the members, dissolving the corporation, merging, selling off major assets. So the law requires that any bylaws amendment that does that needs to be approved by a vote of the members. by majority vote, provided that a quorum is established. And our bylaws establish a quorum is 10%. So that's the first thing. Now, the other thing is, there are lots of other things in bylaws, such as committees of inclusion, for instance. And the number of times a year that the National Board meets, and various other technical things that are in the bylaws. And the question is, how can that be amended? The bylaws provide two ways for it to be done. The local and national boards can agree to amend those kinds of things by majority vote of the national board and a majority vote of at least three of the five local boards. However, if there's the members want to amend the bylaws, that's the listener subscribers want to amend them, they have a process of doing it as well. They can circulate a petition among the members, and if they get 1% of the members to sign on to it, then it has to be put to a vote. And it goes to a vote of the national and local boards first, and if they approve it, then it's done. But if they don't approve it, then it comes back to all of the members, and the members, again, can adopt the amendment by a majority vote of the members, provided a quorum actually votes. So that's, I think, the full answer.
Okay. Do you want to answer?
No. Go ahead.
Earlier in this process, there was a talk about holding a convention after like 2 or 3 years after we've elected some local boards and a national board at that point to see how well the bylaws that we've written are functioning. What's happened with that that discussion?
Well, the national board passed a resolution, and I believe it was at our December meeting, that there would be a bylaws convention within 1 to 3 years after the new board is elected and seated. That resolution has been passed. It hasn't been changed. It's now a resolution of the board of directors. The date of that convention is to be set by the next board. And I think it's a good idea for people after a period of time. I think it's probably going to take about 2 years to shake down and really see how well the system we've designed is working. But for people to get together and evaluate it and critique it and make suggestions and proposals for how it might be improved. I don't think the bylaws should be amended at a convention. I think there should be a lot of work building up to a convention, and then there should be a lot of discussion about the proposals at the convention, and then they should be drafted and approved pursuant to the procedures that we've put into the bylaws. I do want to say, and I have to say, kind of echo something that Dave said a little while ago, the rigidity of some people's points of view over the discussion about the bylaws has left me somewhat disheartened with things like conventions, because it sort of seems like the people who get the most people there and can yell and scream the loudest get their way, and I don't think that's a good way to make decisions. You'd have to hold a convention somewhere, so if we held it in Houston, the Houstonians would control the agenda. So, you know, it's a good idea. Get a lot of people together and critique and talk about how we can improve our governance structure and brainstorm about what kinds of amendments would need to happen to the bylaws to correct anything that we kind of screwed up with. But I think bylaws amendments need to be carefully drafted and circulated and voted upon by either the membership as a whole or the governing bodies.
Oh, I had a question. Because you mentioned that about the idea of voting for bylaws and having a quorum, and you said something, I think it is 10% of the board members.
No, of the actual members themselves.
Oh, the actual members.
So, for instance, I believe WBAI has somewhere between 20,000 and 25,000 members.
Oh, okay. I see.
So 10% would be 2,000.
Okay. Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to know if when you speak about then a vote on bylaws, and Dave can answer this too, are members then, or this vote, could this vote be partial in terms of, say, accepting items 2 and 5 or, you know, 9 or article, whatever it is, whichever way bylaws are written, but rejecting the rest, or, you know, everything but these 2 or 3 items that need to be, or it has to be a situation where the entire bylaws as presented would either have to be accepted or rejected?
Are you talking about in the context of the initial adoption of bylaws, or in terms of amendments down the road?
No, the initial, that is this situation that is being pursued now, that is the writing of bylaws for the functioning of Pacifica.
Well, I think arguably they need to be adopted in a whole set, because if you were to take, you know, the 300 provisions, I mean, these are 50-page bylaws, they're extraordinary, but mm-hmm. that's what happens when you write by committee.
Yeah.
In any event, if you were to take the 300 provisions in any one of these bylaws, you know, say 6 different versions, and start mixing and matching, they have an integrative impact upon one another. And you can't just say, well, let's take one from version A, one from version D, one from version F, and so forth.
Yeah.
Because it needs to be a coherent whole, and they need to be looked upon as a coherent whole. So
okay.
I think arguably you could say, well, wait a second, we need to mix and match. That is somewhat hazardous. I'm not sure that that's permissible. I think that given that they are an integrated whole, I believe Carol's position has been that they need to be presented in a singular, coherent whole, various versions perhaps, but we vote upon the whole package.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to agree with that approach, because I think otherwise we could be there for years just going over different, you know, combinations.
Yeah, I think Dave is right.
We have been there for years.
The initial adoption of our bylaws. Subsequent amendments could be, you know, we're going to amend Article 3, Section 5D. But for the initial adoption mm-hmm. of these bylaws, by the way, they are not going to be going to the members for a vote. The initial adoption requires 2/3 of the interim national board to vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
And a majority vote of at least 3 of the 5 current local advisory boards to adopt these initial new bylaws.
Dave, you had mentioned the idea that in committee you have had people who have been so rigid with their ideas. Do you have that same kind of apprehension about submitting a bylaw draft for acceptance by the national board? Do you find that within the national board there is an openness for compromise, the word that you use, or do you find that there might be some rigidity in that people are there also pursuing a political agenda?
Well, I dare say we're all pursuing political agendas, I mean, to use that phrase, but the point is, I guess what you're asking is, I think we'll be running up against a wall at the national board level against immovable objects. I hope not. I know I have been chastised, criticized roundly for being too compromising and too, God forbid, wishy-washy or liberal, and I certainly reject that. I would hope not to be, but I do think that we need to be cooperative. I think that there may be members of the national board that feel very strongly about certain things. I dare say that all of the people on the national board are willing to compromise if they think that it will advance their goals. I don't really know. For example, if you do a count on the national board, I mean, certainly there are people that feel very strongly from one side to the other. But I hope that the people on the national board are more interested in achieving closure than in winning a battle.
Okay. And I think that is important, because primary, I think, in terms of the ultimate destiny or the immediate future of Pacifica, it is the members of the present board who then have that stake in their hands. And I think it is rather imperative that there is this openness to understand the different positions and then to be able to make a choice that is in the very best interest of the organization then as it stands. And, you know, you're talking about looking to the future, where you have something that that Pacifica can, let me say, make a step from to elect then new board members and the local advisory board members and so on, and then become, let me say, functioning in a normal way, so that this interim period will all, you know, become history. And I guess it is with the hopefulness that Carol has mentioned, that the pursuit of the objectives of Pacifica then can be pursued diligently with a very open-mindedness on then everyone's part. But I think that the example being set by the national board as then the primary guardians, if I may, of Pacifica.
Well, I must say I'm impressed by the national board. When we've been able to work together on things, it's been pretty fruitful. But it's been a very difficult process having this done throughout all the network, you know, stations and signal areas. But you know, one thing is very critical, and I think we need to recognize that Judge Sabra, the judge in Alameda County, is going to want to see progress on this. And if he doesn't see that we're making progress on this, and if we're unable to achieve some kind of closure prior to June 30th, we're going to have to go in front of him and say that. I dare say there's a risk, small or large, I could not say, but a risk of some sort, that he might say, you know, kids, everyone come back to the courtroom. We're going to take a look at this. This isn't working. And the whole struggle to developing an elected, accountable governance system for Pacifica could be in jeopardy unless we adopt something soon.
And I think that is worthwhile for you. I hope everyone listening heard that, because, excuse me, we don't want, in a sense, to be, let me say, me being in opposition to you, you being in opposition to me in a very narrow-minded kind of way, so that we lose.
Both,
everybody loses, and that is then not such a good idea at all. And I think, yes, that as you say, it is imperative that people bear that in mind, and again look about getting something that is workable, but of course in the shortest possible time, as I said, not filibuster, but to really take time to weigh the ideas of each other and try to understand it and not get caught up either in semantics or ideology, but again what is then perceived as or understood to be in the best interest of the organization. Because if we say, as we have said often, that, you know, people would like to see the demise of Pacifica, then if we say that, we should then, in a sense, believe it and understand it and understand what then is ultimately at stake, which is Pacifica, if some progress cannot be made, if people cannot, with some diligent pursuit of, as you say, closure is a term that you have used, come to some agreement, come to some understanding within Pacifica, then we're going to throw the fate of the organization outside of it, and very likely it will be in hands that are not as friendly as we would like.
Yeah, Dick Gregory said in the Los Angeles meeting that as important as it is that we ensure we have the greatest diversity and the values that brings to the richness that brings to us, we need to make sure that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think the term he used was something like, something to the effect that we shouldn't sacrifice the foundation for that political point, because it's more important that the foundation survive to do its job, to struggle for social justice and peace, and that we need to work towards diversity, but we shouldn't, you know, blow the whole foundation on the argument of how much and, you know, how quickly. We need to survive. Are we there?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. We just had some feedback, so...
Might have been Dick Gregory's agent.
I like that. Okay. Yeah. So, but a good point. And did you have anything to say on that, Carol?
Well, I can really only agree. I think that Pacifica has a crucial role to play now in our country. I think we're living in extremely dangerous times, and that it's important for us to continue and to improve and to be more in your face out there, airing the voices of dissent. And that we certainly can't do that if we bankrupt ourselves or fall on our own sword. I believe that diversity is a core value of Pacifica. And I, unlike some others, really have no doubt that as long as we continue to exist, we will continue to be diverse. So that's really all I want to say.
Okay. WBAI New York, I wanted to say that. You're listening to Labrish. My name is Haptis Selassie, and our guests are Dave Fertig and Carol Spooner, both members of the Interim National Board of Pacifica. And also we have here with us in studio Sean Rhodes, who is responsible for putting this morning's program together. Again, I just want to remind you that later today, the 14th annual tribute to the ancestors of the Middle Passage will be taking place at Coney Island Beach. That is at Bay 16 and the Boardwalk. It begins promptly at noon. And for more information, if I can find the stuff, I can't find the stuff, just come on out to Coney Island and join us for the day. Yes, Sean.
I wanted to follow up just quickly on the convention for review of the bylaws. Once that process has taken place, you know, people get together and after a certain amount of time having worked under these bylaws, and then decide that there's something they want to change, if they follow the procedures as laid out in the bylaws as they voted upon, how long will it take for the a new amendment or a new bylaw to be written?
That's really unpredictable, Sean. It really depends on how difficult it is to write. Certainly something would have to be circulated around to all five station areas and worked over. I hope it would be a lot quicker than our last experience. but you need to get agreement. And agreement takes time. But once you have the requisite agreement, the bylaws say we'll hold all proposed bylaws amendments and vote on them once a year. And I think they would probably go out with the regular ballot for the election. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Also, I just wanted to add that there may be some truth to what you said in terms of if you hold a convention in a particular area, people from that area may flock and, you know, take control of the situation. I think, though, that's important that that's a risk that you take if
sure.
You're a community-sponsored radio station and you're looking to get support from listeners and give them a chance to feel as though they have something to contribute.
I agree completely, and I'd really like to see bylaws conventions, you know, town hall meetings in all five station areas, and maybe representatives from the town halls being sent to the convention or something. I think that would be great.
Yeah. So at this stage of the game, is there still an opportunity for listeners to get involved with this process? Or is it, well, other than lobbying their local board members, I imagine.
Well, you can write to the national board by sending email to ipnb@pacifica.org. If you have an opinion you'd like to express to us, it comes to us that way.
Okay, give that website, email address again.
IPNB stands for Interim Pacifica National Board at pacifica.org.
Cool.
What email address was that?
IPNB@pacifica.org.
Oh, indeed.
And Carol, are you still open to taking phone calls?
Sure.
Okay. So
my you mean people call me? Yes. My number is 707-526-2867.
Again, that's 707-526-2867. And let's see. Oh, for those who have internet access, you can go to the ever reliable and up to date and comprehensive www.wbai.net. There you'll find the actual copy of the settlement and bylaws drafts and all kinds of thought-provoking commentary. And, Rashad Robinson's website. The Center for Voting and Democracy. You go to www.fairvote.org, F-A-I-R-V-O-T-E.org. You'll also get additional information about proportional representation. And for those in the New York area who don't have access to internet and you can't get to an internet cafe or go to a library or even go to a friend's house, there's still information that can be obtained by going Old Ma Bail. You can use a telephone that's 212-465-7562. That's 212-465-7562. That's the Coalition for Democratic Pacifica, for Democratic Pacifica, New York chapter hotline. And that's been in service since 1996, serving the listeners. And you find a wealth of information there as well. Dave, do you have any contact information you'd like to give out?
Well, indeed, my email, I can be reached. If you go to IPMB at pacifica.org, I'll get that. But directly, it's D. Again, D. Fertig. It's D as in David, F as in Frank, E-R-T-I-G. D. Fertig at workerlaw.net. Workerlaw, one word, .net. That's my email. My office number here, if somebody wants to phone me, is 626-798-3030. I always welcome calls from Pacifica supporters.
I can give my personal email address, too, if you don't want to write to the whole board. People can email me at wildrose@pon.net. Wildrose is the flower, all one word, @pon.net.
Okay.
Was I heard on that?
Well, you can give it again if you feel the feedback was coming through and interrupting you.
Well, I wasn't sure. Okay. Well, anyway, dfertig@workerlaw.net. dfertig@workerlaw.net is my email. My land phone is 626-798-3030.
Cool. So there are some interesting times ahead of us.
Always, if you let them be.
Yeah.
I'm really hopeful that we will move now really swiftly to approve these bylaws and get on with the exciting community building, station building work of electing our new boards and putting them to work. There's a lot to be done. Our stations need, I think, new life, new energy, new perspective, new insight, and I hope some of the listeners to this program that are listening to us this morning will become interested in running for a seat on the local board. And you should listen for carts on WBAI that will give you phone numbers to call and tell you how to do that. We need people.
Indeed, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Hopta, you wanted to add something?
I was just wondering if everything is okay, because I think we're having a little bit of technical difficulty in having some feedback, but I hope everything is okay now. But in terms of, you just mentioned the idea of people running for election. Would elections be opened exclusively to members, that is, subscribers to WBAI, or would it be open to anyone then within the Signal area?
No,
you have to be a member to qualify.
In order to vote, you need to be a member, and in order to be a member, the minimum contribution is $25 within the past year.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3 hours of volunteer work, for instance, coming down and answering the phones during the fund drive.
Mm-hmm.
The local board does have the authority to waive those requirements in cases where a person cannot do either. But it will be the members who vote, the people who are supporting the station through their money or their work.
Okay. You are saying something, Dave?
Yeah, you have to be a listener sponsor member in order to run.
Okay.
It's Article 4, Section 2, Subsection A.
Okay. There's the lawyer. He's got it memorized.
down to the section. But if I may, because we're not far away in one sense from the end of where we're going, we have maybe just about another... what is it, 10 or so minutes to go, more like about 15 minutes to go. But I was just wondering, outside of all of the things that is happening, let me say, in committee and trying to come up with bylaws and then see the elections ultimately, and as you say, people getting to work, that is the Pacifica as an organization, going about the business that it was created for. What are your expectations, Dave? What are your expectations, Carol, for Pacifica?
Well, I can't tell if Carol's talking. I don't want to interrupt her, but...
No, she's not. But
okay, my expectations for Pacifica are that, particularly under the elected governance accountable structure, that it become even more robust in its speaking through the voices of the extraordinarily diverse communities in which we have our radio stations and our affiliate radio stations. We've got an amazing amount of fantastic programming coming out of all five of our stations, and it's just mind-bogglingly extraordinary. Pacifica was at the heart, really was one of the key elements of the most extraordinary anti-war movement in the history of the world as it was manifested within the United States. And that was just the tip of the iceberg of what we can actually do, and not just on radio. I think that Pacifica, remember, was developed as a voice for war resistance, for social justice to lead to peace, founded more than 50 years ago, not just through radio, though, through any means necessary. And that means through the organization of discussions, of writings and theater and drama and other cultural and academic expressions or verbal expressions, what have you. It's just the sky's the limit. And I think once we have really opened up the doors to the whole community in order to advance the mission, it's just extraordinary what can happen. It's already extraordinary what has happened. But I'm just in awe of the potency of this entity. It's just amazing. So I have no expectations because I think they'll outstrip anything that I could imagine.
Well, I would certainly echo all of Dave's thoughts there. I have another thought, too. And that is I would like to see us heal ourselves. Pacifica has, I think, a great role to play, and that we will do it far better if our internal wounds are acknowledged and addressed. And over the past number of years at all of our stations, a great number of grievances and hostilities were bred. And I think we do need to address them and create a culture that expresses our values. And I would hope that our values are those expressed in the Pacifica mission, which is understanding the causes of conflict and seeking to resolve them. And I think implied in that is a respect for one another. I don't want to sound too serious about that, but I mean downbeat about it. I don't want to be downbeat about it, because I think it's a great opportunity for us to model our values, create something that is vibrant, keeps us in contact with each other, and that actually, you know, a lot of people talk about the Pacifica family, and I suppose some families don't get along very well, but the idea behind it is that we do care about one another. And I think that I'd really like to see us pay some attention to that in the very near future.
I just wanted to echo your point about people getting involved in seeking seats on the local board in terms of running as candidates or getting involved in finding out more about this process. As we've been saying all along since we started doing these specials back in March of 2002, gee, back in the day, as they used to say, that an informed listenership is our greatest strength and protection. And if you sit back and just wait for other people to take care of, you know, the final details or the busy work, I'm telling you, you're setting yourself up for another takeover, another hijacking. We've seen it time and time again. Get involved now.
And you had mentioned earlier, and I would like for it to be repeated, that is, if people wanted to contact either of you personally, that is one. And you had said something about people becoming then involved. And if you could give out that information once more, whether it is through email or mail or say snail mail or by telephone, if you can.
Well, I think the most important way to become involved is to become involved locally, in your local station. And each local station will have an elections committee, and they'll need people to serve on those elections committee, and an outreach committee, and a diversity committee, and lots of work for people to do. And the way to find out about that is to call the station and to go to the station website, which is www.wbai.org. There's lots of also background information at wbai.net. So I think close to home, getting involved, and when you hear that there's a local advisory board meeting, go down to the meeting, meet people, talk to them, get involved that way. And then as soon as we do get these bylaws approved, you should be listening for carts on the air with phone numbers about how to call the elections coordinator to get a package to become a candidate. They'll make it easy for you that we want candidates. And so that's something I really want to emphasize, is getting involved locally. Communicating with the national board is good. I really like hearing from people, but I can't tell you the date of the next elections committee meeting in New York.
And Dave?
Yes, again, I can be reached at area code 626-798-3030, or my email, dfertig, that's my first, David, and the last name, Fertig, F as in Frank, E-R-T-I-G, dfertig at workerlaw.net on the email. I do welcome hearing from any and all Pacifica supporters.
And Carol, just to reiterate, at the beginning of the show, you said there is going to be a particular date next week when you all would be notified about when you'll be voting on the bylaws.
Actually, the National Board is going to have a telephone conference, I believe, next Wednesday, the 18th, at 4 o'clock. And on that telephone conference, we will decide how to proceed. We will decide when we will schedule the meeting for when we're going to vote on the bylaws.
Okay. And
And I should tell you that meeting will be webcast at www.kpftx.org.
And that's at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time?
Eastern Time, yeah.
Okay.
Well, so just to alert the listeners, you can listen in if you have access to a computer. And hopefully it might be carried. Do you think it will be carried on local stations, or it will just be webcast?
I imagine it will only be webcast. It's going to be just kind of scheduling a meeting. So
okay. It's just scheduled. Well, I guess people just inform, the listeners then would be informed as to what the decision has been.
Yes.
Okay. Carol Spooner and David Fertig, I want to thank you both for taking time to be with us. And Dave, it's good meeting you. I enjoyed listening to what you had to say. And it is rather reassuring, I must say, hearing the kind of thinking that is going on with you. And for me, speaking rather personally, as I said, I feel rather assured that at least there is a mindset that is not, as I said, say, cast in concrete with the board. Oh, you too, Carol. I don't want it to seem that way, but as we're meeting Dave for the first time. And again, I want to thank you so very much for taking the time to be with us. And also, Carol, thank you again for your participation here. And we want to then wish both of you the very best. And thank you very much for the effort that you're making on behalf of Pacifica.
Well, thank you for your show, and I look forward to seeing you in New York in August on the 34th anniversary of Woodstock, where a million people got together and worked it out.
Cool.
I think we can do this.
Yeah, I should play some Jimi Hendrix now that you said that.
They all won the Watchtower. Yeah. Good intro.
Yes, that's why you did that too.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
And I'm so grateful for the opportunity.
And thank you again, both, so very much. Okay? And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, Mr. Rhodes, thank you for putting this together, and thank you.
Well, thank you for being so open to this sort of programming. And again, this is like the fourth one we've done, and I thank Carol too for being the constant factor as we've been, you know, going through this process.
And I really like what I said. I was hearing from Dave Furtick, you know. Sounds good, sounds reasonable, and so on. And I like the idea. As I said, I want listeners, because this is the primary reason that this is happening. This program is happening is to keep you, the listener, informed. And I just want to remind you, the listener, that you have a stake in WBAI. You have a stake in Pacifica, and I would like for you to take the opportunity, or then let me say, to exercise the right of your stake, to listen, to be then aware, and ultimately to participate in the process. And that is something that you cannot be denied unless you deny it yourself. Again, you've been listening to Labrish. This has been Labrish for Saturday, June 14, 2003. Sean, thank you so very much again. And you've been listening to Labrish. My name is Haptis Selassie. And we'll be back next week with another edition of the program. Labrish is a De Jazz Mac production. Remember to tell the people whom you love that you love them, and to show affection. With love, we'll find unity and strength. One love, good people, walk good, and you know, take very good care. Mr. Tosh.
And you build our love on one foundation. And you build our love on one foundation. And you build our love on one foundation. There will never be, no love at all. There will never be no love at all. I've got to put aside name segregation, got to put aside theme organization, got to put aside. Person, no love at all. There
Habit of happening.